Have you ever heard the term life verse? Some of you may have a life verse, a verse that like really captures your imagination and you want to own that as your guiding verse throughout your life. Our text for today contains my life verse, John 37:37-38. And I want to share that with you by way of a summer faith lift. That's what we're doing. I'm trying to focus on some passages that I think show us that we might just be missing out on the richness and the beauty and the power of our faith. So for today, John 7:37 and following, and this is how it goes. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" "No one ever spoke the way this man does," the guards replied. "You mean he has deceived you also?" the Pharisees retorted. Let's pray together. Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We want to clearly understand and meditate and chew on these words and be changed and redirected by them. Lord, through your Spirit, begin this work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whenever you go down to a wharf in Maine or to one of the docks, you just see how beautiful and clear our water can be. I know some of you have been on cruises in tropical countries too, or have been to Cancun, Mexico, or something like that, and have dipped your toes into beautiful tropical waters, haven't you? A few of you? And those waters are just beautiful, aren't they? They're spectacular. Well, imagine how Vicente Pinzon felt in March 1500, more than 500 years ago, when Vicente Pinzon was exploring the east coast of South America. Pinzon was a Spanish explorer and navigator, and he was snooping out this new continent for his king, as did his colleague Christopher Columbus for King Ferdinand. So he's plowing along the east coast of South America and all of a sudden looks overboard, and what should he see but muddy water everywhere as far as the eye could see. Now this was a huge change from those beautiful, glorious tropical waters, to see muddy water from everywhere. So he called to a cabin boy to come with a bucket and said, "Fetch me a bucket of that water." The cabin boy pulled it up and Pinzon sniffed it. Sure didn't smell like salt water smells. Pinzon dipped his finger into it and tasted it, and it tasted like fresh muddy water. Now Pinzon was sailing along the coast, but far, far out from the sight of land. There was no land to be seen anywhere, and yet here was fresh water. So he commanded to his first mate to turn that ship west toward land and to see where this fresh water was coming from. There had to be a river coming from somewhere. And sure enough, Pinzon was probably the first European to sail into the Amazon River, the mightiest river of them all. In fact, Pinzon would have been into the river before he ever even knew it, because at its mouth, it is 150 miles wide. So you can be in the Amazon River and still think you're out in the ocean. But he sailed into the Amazon River and discovered it. I can't blame him. I would have wanted to see also what was turning the beautiful tropical waters into fresh water so far from land. This must be a powerful, mighty river. And I believe what we've got in our text today is a very powerful, mighty river as well. If we can go back a slide there to that. Jesus says that whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. This has always captivated my attention. How could this be? What does this look like? Do I see rivers of living water coming out of me? Out of our church? Out of any church, for that matter? What is Jesus trying to get at here? And that's what I want us to look at today. He wants his followers to be that river life, that spirit life going out into the world. And what's this going to look like for us? I think he says some important things here. This river, whatever it's going to be like, is, you can count on it, is going to be a river of celebration. This river is going to be a person. And this river is also going to be the future. All of these we wouldn't normally associate with rivers, so bear with me. Celebration, person, and future. First of all, celebration. This is one of those times in Jesus' life when it really helps to understand what's going on. I mean, normally then we would just sit back and read these verses and say, oh, isn't that nice? Jesus says, whoever is thirsty, come to him and drink. And that rivers of living water will flow from within him. But if you understand where Jesus is when he says this, it becomes really amazing. Verse 37 starts there, on the last and greatest day of the festival. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up. Normally, professors, teachers back then would sit, but he stood up. He was probably in the temple and said these words. This festival, we know from history and from the other verses there in chapter 7, is the Festival of Tabernacles. Or the Festival of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. And it is one of the required festivals of the Israelite people. The Israelites were required to go to Jerusalem. When are you required to come to church? When have we written into our bylaws, thou shalt be here X, Y, or Z Sunday? We don't, right? And the Israelites didn't have it very often either, but there were two that they had to require, they were required to attend, and this was one of them. So as you can imagine, Route 1 was filled up with traffic. As you can imagine, Jerusalem was choked with people and their mules and their donkeys, because everybody had to go to Jerusalem for this festival, which we know to be a week long. And the festival started with the priests going down to the Pool of Siloam and getting a big, huge container of water and taking it back to the temple. And each day of the feast, they would scoop out a big urn of this water and pour it out into the around the temple, like this. No, okay. Yeah, we wouldn't do something like that. But in the temple, they would. Each day, they poured out this water because this is an agricultural feast. They're giving thanks for all the rain that God gave them and praying for the rains next year, too. They would pray out, Lord, save us. Give us rains next year. In fact, if you read Zechariah 14, God says, if you don't go to Jerusalem, you will have no rain. That's part of why it was required that they be there to celebrate this festival. So there they are, pouring this out, celebrating. All Israelite people gathered there. And like I said, it's called the Festival of Booths. So as they would come into Jerusalem, they would go up on people's housetops or along the street and cut down poles and branches and make a little temporary shelter, a booth. And that's where they would spend the week. Colleen and I moved here a year ago from Philly. And the Orthodox Jews there in Philly will build little booths in their front yard. In October, you can see them, little camps, little small shelters, because that's the tradition. And they would worship God. So a grand celebration. It's the Festival of Sukkot, the Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths. And water is being poured out, a great celebration. You know, Pinzon must have celebrated when he discovered that mighty water there in Brazil and sent his letter back to King Ferdinand to say, I have claimed another river for you. But God, our King, says, you're going to be that mighty river. You're going to celebrate all that I'm going to do in your life. And celebration is key to everything we do and stand for as Christian people. And that's why it's so important that we gather, that we be here, because in our dark and distorted and crazy world, we've got to be the ones that stand up in the darkness and sing out. We've got to be the ones that lift up holy hands and praise Him. So that's why next Sunday we're going to have an all-music service. It's just important to celebrate. We're doing it today. We'll do it next week. And I want you to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I do. Oh, Thursday, Friday. Give you a day off Saturday. No day off, because this is what we're created to do. We are created to praise Him. Whenever I find a hymn or a praise song that I like, I write it down on a 4x6 card. And I sing one a day. The one for tomorrow is going to be, He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Keep up that song. Keep the song going and the praise going. You're going to go out from here, you'd spend a lot more time in the community than you do in here. And for that reason, I want to give you one warning. Our society is not wired this way at all. Our society is not wired to help us turn out to God and to think of Him. Our society wants to turn us in and think, what can we get out of all of this for ourselves? And we have become a culture of entertainment, where all we seek for is the next pleasure, the next little thing to make us happy. In fact, we even turn God's water into that. A lot of the fresh water that we have, we use for river rafting trips or cruises or what have you. We barely even think that water is life. It's, for us, it's become entertainment almost. So this river, if you want to see this river, if you want to see it from here, from your life, you're going to have to keep up the celebration. Secondly, this river is a person. It's so odd to hear Jesus say there, you're thirsty, you come to me and drink. I imagine Jesus pushed right up to the altar. People wanted Him to come. They wanted to see Him. That was a part of the attraction of coming to that year's festival, because maybe the prophet would be there. Maybe this Jesus of Nazareth would be there. And sure enough, He pushed right up to the altar. Did His feet get wet when the priests were pouring out water? I don't know. But I know that He must have shocked a few people when He stood up and said, you're thirsty? Oh, this is just crazy. You come to me and drink. Here's the priest pouring out water. You come to the temple. You come to us. You're Israelites. Hold on to the Israelite faith. No, Jesus says, you come to me and drink. And that's what we've got to do in this community. I don't want you to go out there and tell people to come to a meeting, to believe the same things you believe, to come to a philosophy or an ideal. That is not said in Scripture. What Scripture says, what Jesus, our Lord, said, is you come to me and drink. You know, as I prepared this sermon, I tried to think of what this would be like. You know, if Jesus were to do this in our day and age, and we're not a religious, well, we're religious in some ways, but it's, we're very different than Israel was back then, but I'm going to try and do this, okay? So here's a few examples, maybe. No, I've got a few NASCAR fans in here. No? Okay, well, I'll do that. I think we do. So what if Jesus were to go to the Indianapolis 500 and stand up in the middle of that? Right as they were about to say, gentlemen, I am that gasoline. You are not going to get anywhere without me. Your engine will not go without me. Got a few motorcyclists in here too, don't we? Mm-hmm. What if he stood up at Daytona Bike Week and said the same thing? I am that engine. Oh, you like how your engine purrs and roars, right? I am that engine. Well, there's a big difference between our country and what we've got going on here. But you see what I mean? How shocked the people must have been for Jesus to say, "You come to me and drink." Oh, in fact, I think if we see in verse 32 there, if you've got your Bible open, it's way back. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, had said to the guards, "Bring him in. This guy's." And so that's why later on in verses 47 and 48 we have there, "What, you didn't bring him in? Nobody's ever spoken like this man does. Oh, you mean he's deceived you too? Here is a person who says, 'Come to me and drink,' and that's what I want you to offer to our community. You're not offering them a philosophy, an ideal, a religion, a meeting. You're saying only Jesus will quench your thirst. And that is because he's real. He is the living God. And if anybody can do this, he can do it. And that's what you're offering to them. The only real hope that we have. If Jesus is who he says he is, he will be able to meet the needs in our community." Still, I imagine it must have been shocking, infuriating for Jesus to stand up and say that. There's one more thing that's really crazy that Jesus says here. He says, if we can go back a slide there to verse 37 or maybe 38, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." What did we just read in your responsive reading there? Water is supposed to flow out from Jerusalem, right? And now Jesus is saying water is going to flow out from you. He's changing things a little bit here. There's going to be water. It will be flowing, but it's going to come from you and not from a city. And this is very, very dramatic. Probably why the priests were so upset. Jerusalem was to be the center of that, and Jesus is saying, no, it's going to be Newcastle, it's going to be Haiti, it's going to be Congo. Anybody who believes is going to become that river of living water. But it's important that they become that river because Jesus wants that blessing. We see that in Zechariah here and all the way to your end of your responsive reading, which is from the book of Revelation, where water is flowing out from the throne of God. God is all about the future, and he has his mind, all of his attention focused on that, and he wants blessing to flow out to all the nations of the earth. And he's going to use you to do that. That's pretty amazing stuff. And so that's why on the survey here that we're asking you to fill out, one of those questions there is, how can we be a blessing to our community or area? Because that's God's intentions. He wants to sweep through this land and purify it. You know, 8 people died this morning. You see that on the news? Human trafficking in Texas. They were pushed into a metal truck and just in the heat of Texas and just roasted alive. Those that survived, many of them are supposed to be so brain damaged that they'll never function again. God's not going to stand for this. Crap? This nonsense, thank you. He's going to send water through this earth and purify it. Just like Tolkien, if you've ever watched The Lord of the Rings, any Lord of the Rings fans here, and the water comes down into Isengard. Remember, Tolkien was a Christian, a very devout believer. And that water pours into the pits that the orcs had dug. And that's just been a symbol of what God's going to do. Purify this land, purify our hearts, our homes, our communities. Make it like he first created it. And he's going to use you to do that. So this past week, Tom told me something that was pretty interesting. And I checked it with some of you, and you say it's true. There used to be a pipe out here? A pipe out here? Across the street? Tell me about that. I didn't get a chance to ask him as many questions as I wanted to, and I've been thinking about it during the week and thought, what? It was a source of water? So where did the water come from? You don't have city water here, right? Where did the water come from? Was it a spring? Somebody dug a well? Yeah, your wells would go dry in the summer, so you would come here. That well those dug it? Mm-hmm. So it must have been sort of recent. Why is it not there now?
I have questions.
You have a question?
I have a question why it's not still there.
You know, you go through Bristol, you see that fountain there with the long trough, which Tom said is for watering horses, and I still see people there getting water in Bristol. Why is ours covered up? Anybody know? Maybe they thought we would be providing water.
That's a chance.
Yes, sir.
A couple years ago, before you came, we were with another church, and some guy came up and asked us at the other side, Silcock was working, if you could get some water. He said, sure, take all you want. Came back 2 or 3 different times for those drugs.
And we gave out water yesterday, didn't we? At the yard sale. Poland spring water with a sticker on it that said, a drink of water in Jesus' name, and had our website on there. Pray for those bottles of water. That people would think about their thirst. And you think about it too. God wants something very special for us, and that's what I want. Rivers to go out from here. You know, some of the tributaries of the Amazon are still among the top 12 biggest rivers in the world. And those are just the tributaries for the Amazon. You are tributaries for Jesus, channeling his water out into this community. Saying to people, there's a reason to celebrate. Saying to people, you come to Jesus, you'll meet your thirst. Saying to people, God has a future for you. And it's great. Let me tell you what the future looks like. And then maybe our ministries can look like that future of fresh, clean living, blessing life.